me to the book of James. Book of James. Book of James. Fourth chapter of the book of James. We'll see what we'll journey to today. Fourth chapter of the book of James. And I will begin at verse number one. Verse number one. I'm going to do my best to teach this morning, all right? Okay, thank you. James chapter 4, beginning at verse number 1. I have the Amplified Classic Version. And just before I get into it, I just want to give God praise for our Thanksgiving service on Thursday. Amen. I give God praise for Minister Timothy Richardson, who so clearly and concisely shared the word of the Lord with us. Amen. I give God praise for him, for what God is doing in his life, and in fact, for what God is doing in the lives and development of all of our leaders in training. Amen. And I ask that we would continually, as a congregation, continually to lift up all of our ministers in prayer. Amen. As well as the entire congregation. Amen. Because if the Lord's tarry, somebody's going to have to take the mantle. Amen. 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 All right, here we go. James chapter number 4, verse number 1, Amplified Classic. The Apostle James is asking a question. He said, what leads to strife? And I like how the Amplified unpacks it. Discord and feuds. And how do conflicts, quarrels, and fightings originate among you? Do they not arise from your sensual desires that are ever warring in your bodily members? Verse 2, you are jealous and covet what others have, and your desires go unfulfilled. So you become murderers. And he unpacks that. To hate is to murder. As far as your hearts are concerned, you burn with envy and anger and are not able to obtain the gratification, the contentment, and the happiness that you seek. So you fight and war. You do not have because you do not ask. Verse 3 continues this thought. Or you do ask God for them and yet fail to receive because you ask with wrong purpose and evil, selfish motives. Your intention is, when you get what you desire, to spend it in sensual pleasures. You are like, I'm in verse 4 now, unfaithful wives having illicit love affairs with the world and breaking your marriage vow to God. Do you not know that being the world's friend is being God's enemy? So whoever chooses to be a friend of the world takes his stand as an enemy of God. Or do you suppose that the scripture is speaking to no purpose that says, the spirit whom he has caused to dwell in us yearns over us, and he yearns for the spirit to be welcome with a jealous love. Verse 6, but he gives us more and more grace. Power of the Holy Spirit to meet this evil tendency and all others fully. That is why he says, God sets himself against the proud and haughty, but gives grace continually to the lowly, those who are humble enough to receive it. So be subject, verse 7, so be subject to God. Resist the devil. Stand firm against him, he will flee from you. Thought that hit my mind as I was looking at this and a few other passages that we're going to look at today is simply the strength of humility. The strength of humility. It sounds like the Apostle James saw some things that were necessary to be pointed out. I'll say that. And when we look at this, excuse me, have a cough coming. Thank you. When we look at this, we see that we don't want to be characterized as the beginning of this chapter. It's being categorized certain behaviors and tendencies of the audience that James was writing to. We don't want to be found like that. We don't want to be the ones that are feuding. We don't want to be fighting. We don't want infighting. And he asked the question, whether these fights and feuds and quarrels originate among you. So it's not an outward thing. It's an inward thing that he observed. And he reminds us as we're reading this that they come from our sensual desires that are ever warring in our bodily members. So this points us to the fact that in this flesh, as we know, the Word of God says there's no good thing. And we can't trust our flesh. We can't trust our own human thinking and human reasoning, because the carnal mind, the Bible lets us know, is at enmity against the Spirit of God. So there's always a battle. As long as we are on this side of eternity, there will be a battle, and the battle is a continuous battle. So James the Apostle, he is exploring and exposing the symptoms and the behavior. He points out there's some jealousy going on. There was some jealousy going on, and there was some covetousness going on. And he even said that they became murderers, because as far as their heart was concerned, if you hate someone in your heart, then you might as well consider yourself a murderer. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So these things may be upsetting and may be a bit uncomfortable for us to read, but I think it's good to pay attention to this. So if we see these things trying to creep their way into our hearts, then we can, as he said in that last verse, we can resist the devil. But we have to be aware. We cannot be like an ostrich with our head in the sand and not be aware of the things that are maybe going on around us. And we cannot lean to our own understanding, because we have a skewed view just with our human reasoning. We have a skewed and a damaged view about even what we see. That's why we walk by faith and not by sight, because sometimes what we see can mess us up. So we have to walk by faith and not by sight. He said, you burn with envy, not you all, but those he was talking to, all right? You burn with envy and anger, and you are not able to obtain the gratification and the contentment and the happiness that you seek. That song came to my mind a long time ago. Y'all taught me this song when I first got in here. I'm happy with Jesus alone. Anybody remember that song? I'm happy with Jesus alone. I wonder, does that ring true in our lives today? In 2022, are we still happy with Jesus alone? He said, you even pray to God for things, but you don't receive them because you're praying with the wrong motives. Lord, help us as we rehearse these things that you have put down in your word. He said, you treated God, you two-time God, basically, because you hooked up with the world. I hear the Bible said in one place, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Listen, we ought to be going steady with God. Oh, that's an old expression. People don't even know that no more. Going steady. Amen. We ought to be going steady with God. Matter of fact, we ain't dating God. We are married to God. We are the bride of Christ. We're the bride of Christ. God, James said that God's Spirit has given us the power. And he said, in verse 6, he said, he gives us more and more grace, the power of the Holy Spirit to meet this evil tendency. So all those things that he talked about from verse 1 to verse 5, James is reminding us that all is not lost. Yes, these things are in the world, and yes, these things are in all human flesh, but thank God for the gift of the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the power of the Holy Ghost. Verse 6 said, but he gives us more and more grace, power of the Holy Spirit to meet this evil tendency and all others fully. So even the things that he named and the things that he did not name, because we are the recipients of God's grace and because we are the recipients and we have benefited from the grace of God and God giving us the Holy Ghost, we have the power through the Holy Ghost, not within ourselves alone, but we have the power through the Holy Ghost to meet this evil tendency and all others fully. You need to know the power that you have in the Holy Ghost. That is why he says God sets himself against the proud and haughty, but gives grace continually to the lowly, to those who are humble enough to receive it. I wonder if there's anybody listening to the sound of our voice. Are you humble enough to receive the grace of God? Are you strong enough to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God so that God will continue to work in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure? I just want to share with us this morning briefly the strength of humility. He said, so be subject in verse 7, so be subject to God. Be subject to God. That means God is our king. God is our sovereign, and we are his loyal subjects. We are subjects in the kingdom of God. And since we are the subjects in the kingdom of God, we don't make the rules of the kingdom, but we follow the rules of the kingdom. That's what a subject does. He said, so be subject to God. God has said, if a man's ways please him, God could make even our enemies be at peace with us because we're his subjects, we're his servants, and we are his children. So be subject to God. And if we're subject to God, then we know and realize we have the power through and in and of the Holy Ghost to resist the devil. We can stand firm against the devil. You need to remind yourself of the power that you have, and you don't have to run from the devil. The Bible said, and he will flee from you. So when we look at this word humble in this text, it means to low, to bring or to make low, to a low estate or a low degree. And God has given us the command and the power to do this ourselves. He said, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. The strength that is found in humility. I wonder if we can find in the Word of God a display and an example of the strength of humility? I'm glad you asked me that question. Let's walk to the book of Philippians chapter number 2, and let us begin at verse number 5. This is a very familiar scripture, but I believe God wants us to be reminded of the strength that is found in humility. Here's what he says in verse 5, Amplified Classic, Philippians chapter 2. Let this same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. So we got to let it. You see that? We got to let it. We got to yield. We got to squash our human aggression. Because sometimes some of us can be a bit aggressive. Can I park my bicycle here for a moment? All right. Can I put the kickstand? Let me put the kickstand down and make sure the wheel, so it don't roll. But anyway, sometimes we can be aggressive amongst one another. Some people might call it rough around the edges. But some of us are rough more than around the edges. Let me get to the word. Let's stick to the word. I'm going to let the word do the work. Let this same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Let him be your example in humility. Perfect example of humility. Who? Nobody but Jesus. Watch here. Watch. Verse 6. Who, although being essentially one with God and in the form of God, watch how it unpacks here, possessing the fullness of the attributes which make God God, did not think this equality with God was a thing to be eagerly grasped or retained. Basically, he's saying Jesus is God. And he was confident in the fact of who he is. See, when you know who you are, that will have a calming effect on your life. If you really know who you are, right? He said he was essentially one with God, right? And he didn't think that that equality with God was a thing that he had to hold on to real tight, right? But look at verse 7, but stripped himself. This is God we're talking about, but stripped himself of all privileges and rightful dignity. That's some strength right there, huh? So as to assume the guise of a servant, a slave, in that he became like men and was born a human being. Look at what God did when he came in the person of Jesus Christ. He stripped himself of all privileges and rightful dignity. God in the flesh allowed himself to have that human experience of being in the womb and coming through the birth canal as a baby. The Almighty God did that. Huh? This is the creator of heaven and earth. This is the one who said, let there be, and when he spoke, it was. Just like he said, this very God had the strength to humble himself and to be made like men and was born a human being. And after that, and after he appeared in human form, he abased and humbled himself still further and carried his obedience to the extreme of death, even the death of the cross. So what Paul is saying, he didn't stop at just being born a human. That was a humbling experience for God. Can you imagine God becoming human? That's what he did. But that wasn't how it ended. He said, after he came as a human being, after he was a toddler, after he was a preteen, teenager to adulthood,
He humbled himself still further and carried his obedience to the extreme of death, even the death of the cross. Look at the strength that it took for Jesus, the God of glory, to humble himself and be made in fashion as a man and then allow himself to go through his passion. Allow himself to go through the ridicule, and the scourging and the whipping and the embarrassment of them parading him around and whipping and taking off his clothes and whipping him with that cat of nine tails. This is the very God. This is the same Jesus who said, now wait a minute, you know, I could call down legions of angels if I really wanted to, And we can, let me paraphrase, we can deal with this situation. But his obedience, he was humble enough to be obedient to the extreme of death, even the death of the cross. Because it's written, cursed is every man that hangs on a tree. So God became a curse for all of us. Not just for all of us, for all mankind. But mankind has to accept the fact. Therefore, verse 9, because he stooped so low, God has highly exalted him and has freely bestowed on him the name that is above every name. Thought question comes to my mind. Oh, Lord, help me. We used to, you know, back in days when some of us went to the club. All right. Yeah. And there was a dance out. And then, you know, when you would have a few drinks, stay with me, and the party would be jumping and bumping, and somebody would be a prima donna on the dance floor, and then the crowd would egg them on. They would say, how low can you go? Anybody remember that? Okay, okay, thank you. I got a few real folks in here. So the thought came to my mind when I looked at verse 9, therefore, because he stooped so low, God has highly exalted him. The question is, we in the kingdom of God, how low will we go? Because I think the text said, let Jesus be our example of humility. So how low are we going to stoop among one another? Well, they don't know who I am. Yes, we do. We know who you are. You're part of us. We're in the body of Christ. Therefore, because he stooped so low, God has highly exalted him and has freely bestowed on him the name that is above every name. And that name is Jesus. That in or at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue frankly and openly confess and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. God exalted Jesus and gave him a name that's above every name. Why? Because he stooped so low. So my question to us is, how low will you go? Not in the club, but how low will we go in the kingdom of God? Will we follow the example and be strong enough to humble ourselves? 1 Peter chapter number 5 says, therefore, humble yourselves, demote yourself. Anybody ever been demoted before? Had a position and then lost it? I have. Okay, just transparency. I was in the army.
And I accelerated in the ranks very, very quickly. I went in the Army at age 17. And at age 19, I was a sergeant already. That's pretty fast for those of you who have some knowledge of military. But pride set in. And Brooklyn took over. And I started doing things that was against the UCMJ, Uniform Code of Military Justice. And when they caught up with me, see, I was a sergeant E5. See, you got to go from E1 to E5. But when they caught up with me, I was no longer an E5. I got demoted. Not promoted. I got demoted. They took all my rank. They took my rank and all my privileges. I was no longer Sergeant Jackson. I was Private Jackson. Because I earned it. I did wrong. Jesus took our place on the cross of Calvary. He didn't earn the punishment, but he took the punishment because we were guilty. But Peter is telling us in 1 Peter chapter number 5, beginning at verse 6, therefore humble yourselves, demote, lower yourselves in your own estimation. That's where sometimes the biggest fight is. It's in our own estimation. I want to see your faces. There you are. In our own estimation. Because sometimes we think, I did this, I did that, and, I got some things kind of going on, But he said, humble yourself, demote yourself, lower yourself in your own estimation. Sometimes, let me ask the question. Is there a tendency sometimes for us to think more of ourselves than what we are? That's why we can't trust our flesh. Huh? Even when it's God that gives us the strength to accomplish the things that we accomplish. It's God that gives us the intelligence or the capacity to develop our intelligence and to increase our intelligence and puts us in places where we can learn things. It's all because of God, right? But it's something about this flesh, huh, that makes us think. Remember, if you are up to date and you're reading this morning, reading the Bible through, Nebuchadnezzar had to learn something, didn't he? Huh? And he put out a letter. He said, wait a minute, ain't no God but the true and living God, because I was out there on grass for 7 years. And God had to let him know, you ain't all that, because he said, it's not this great Babylon that I have built. And when he said that, he's out there with the animals. He was out there with the animals. So, Lord, don't let us think more of ourselves than what we are. Therefore, humble yourselves, demote yourselves, lower yourselves, low. Somebody told me a long time ago, the way up is down. I'm still learning, and just as a side, I think that applies to golf. You hit down on the ball go up. My golf teacher. And sometimes I have a tendency of when I'm addressing the ball, when I'm swinging the ball, I have a tendency to look up because I want to see. I want to see the shot. Thank you. I want to see the shot before I hit it. But if I learn to keep my head down and go through the process, this is a teachable moment. If I learn to keep my head down, go through the process, I will see the club hit the ball. And when I see the club hit the ball, because I'm still looking down, there'll be enough time for me to watch, because the ball's going to be in the air. But if I lift my head up before the process is finished,
oh, I see the ball. It's going to be rolling on the ground in front of me. So what are you trying to say to us? Down, right? Let's keep our heads down as it relates to our own estimation. Therefore, humble yourselves, demote, lower yourself in your own estimation under the mighty hand of God, that in due time he may exalt you. So we don't want to exalt ourselves. Let God do it. If there's a level, you know how they used to say you're going to your next level? Do they still say that? Or maybe it's something new now. Okay. But God controls the levels. God controls the progress. Right? Then he says in verse number 7, at the end of verse 6, he said, in due time, that he may exalt you. God is the one that's going to exalt us if we lower ourselves. Verse 7, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on him. For he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. So we don't have to be anxious. We just got to be strong enough to be humble. We just got to be strong enough to take the low road. I don't have to have the last word all the time. For what? I can take down. But let me get my point across. I don't need my point across. Not all the time. You mean I can do all the talking and can't nobody talk to me? There's a problem. There's a problem. Houston, we have a problem. So let us cast all of our cares, all of our anxieties. All right, we might not want to admit that we are anxious sometimes because we know the word says be anxious for nothing. But do we have some worries? Come on. I told you I'm teaching today. Ain't no hooping and hollering today. Okay, let's just be real. Some of us have anxieties. Yes. So throw them. When you cast something, you throw it, right? Throw your anxieties. Anybody have some worries? And then some of us try to be spiritually astute and progressive. Well, I'm not worried. I'm just concerned. Been there, done that. Got the t-shirt and the hat. Then he says, all your concerns. So that covers everybody. So for those enough who were honest enough to say, I got some anxieties. Yes, I got some worries. And the rest of those who say, well, I got some concerns. He says, throw them all on Jesus, whatever they are. And I like how he said, once and for all, when you throw it, don't go back looking for it. Give it to Jesus. Just give it to him. Lord, I'm tired of dealing with this. That's the problem. You've been dealing with it. I'm tired of dealing with the situation. That's the problem. You've been trying to deal with this. Can you give it to me, please? I believe that's what the Lord is saying to somebody. Once and for all, just give it to me. And don't let us not tell God how to work it out. Sometimes, Lord, help me here. Sometimes we give things to God conditionally. Like we can negotiate with God. Okay, God, I'm going to give this to you, but let me tell you how I want you to work this out. Can you work it out this way? God was like, no, I'm God. You ain't. Well, anyway. Give it to him once and for all. For he cares for you affectionately. We got to believe that. And he cares about you watchfully. God is watchfully concerned about us. Never sleeps. Always aware of everything that we're dealing with. We need to know that and remember that. Watch. I like what Psalm 55 says. Cast your burden on the Lord. Anybody got some burdens? Okay. Who came in here with burdens of any kind? Okay, all right. Don't leave here with them burdens. If you're watching on the online campus, give your burdens to the Lord. Cast your burdens on the Lord. Watch what he says. Release the weight of it. You ain't supposed to be carrying that. It's too heavy for you. That's Psalm 55, verse 22. It's too heavy for you. What did Jesus say? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. You ain't supposed to be carrying that stuff. You're not God. Well, I got to handle this. No, you don't. Who told you? See, your mind tricked you. Man, I got to handle this. Ain't nobody going to do this but me. That's your problem. That's our problem. Cast your burden on the Lord, releasing the weight of it, and he will sustain you. Watch this. He will never, I'm still in Psalm 55, 22, he will never allow the consistently righteous to be moved, made to slip, fall, or fail. That sounds like a guarantee to me. Does it sound like a guarantee to anybody else? Huh? But it's conditional. First of all, we got to cast our burdens on the Lord, right? And we have to be consistently righteous. We got to be strong enough to be humble. We got to be strong enough to say, I can't handle this on my own. I should have never tried. Because when I put my hands to it, it got worse. When I put my hands to it, you know, I thought with all my education, with all the letters behind my names, and with all my street cred and street knowledge, I thought I could handle it, but I messed it up again. I think I need to let us go. But who has a desire to be strong enough to be humble? You got to be strong enough to be humble. Yeah, you got to be strong enough to just sometimes back away from stuff. Say, okay, okay, all right, okay, all right. I don't have nothing to say. And sometimes you may have an audience and people are looking for the flesh response. But in that moment, we have to yield to the Spirit of God. And don't go talking about, you better be glad I'm saved. Nah, you blew it. God gets no glory when you open your mouth and say that. God gets glory when we say, okay. And people are looking like, what? You want me to get it? No, just leave it alone. Just leave it alone. We got to be strong enough to be humble. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Let me read a couple of verses to you and I'll let us go. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who imparts all blessing and favor, who has called you to his own eternal glory in Christ Jesus, will himself complete and make you what you ought to be after you suffered a little while. He will establish and ground you securely and strengthen you and settle you, so when the next time comes, you won't respond in the flesh because you've been settled by God, because you went through a little. That, see, that suffering teaches us something. Yeah. Either I'm going to let God handle it or I'm not. And the results are always best when God handles it. But what of that? Paul said, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time, this present life, are not worth being compared with the glory that is about to be revealed to us and in us and for us and conferred on us. Don't lose your cool, because this little suffering is not worthy to be compared to the glory that's going to be revealed to us, the glory that's going to be revealed in us, the glory that's going to be revealed for us, the glory that is going to be conferred, given to us, if we're strong enough to be humble. I'm going to stop there.
There's strength in humility. There's strength in humility. Follow the example of Jesus. Lord, help us to be strong enough to be humble. That's my prayer for me and for all of us. And I believe situations will come that will test the earnestness of that prayer. They may come as you're walking out the door. They may come on your way home. They may come when you get home. When you get to work, when you're dealing with family members, co-workers, neighbors. Lord, help us to be strong enough to be humble. Help us. Anybody need help? Help us to be strong.